But you guys are like, what you're touching on is something really important, I think. Memes are, they're not just silly images. You know, if you could get an idea across in a meme, you've won.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Why Bitcoin podcast, the podcast where we question everything, but mainly, why Bitcoin? Today and every day, I'm your host, Jeff, joined by my gracious co-host, Doug. Doug, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm so excited for today, man. We got an absolute legend on the show. I couldn't be more excited, guys. Today, we're joined by the one and only Brecky Von Bitcoin. Brecky, how you doing, man?
Gentlemen, I'm humbled and honored to be called a legend. I don't see myself that way, but I'll take the flattery. Why not? It's a Wednesday. I could use it.
Dude, anybody that's understood Bitcoin for more than like 6 months is a legend in my eyes. I'm like, these people are all geniuses.
It's funny. It's like you get into the space and you're like, oh man, I wish I was one of those OGs. And then, you know, you stick around long enough and people start calling you an OG and you're just like, no man, like those guys are the real OGs.
Yeah. And everybody thinks they came in late and then everybody realizes how early they were. It's pretty cool.
Exactly.
Right on. Okay, guys, you can find us. Where can they find us, Doug? We're on YouTube. We're on Spotify. Where else are we?
Well, here's the best way to find us. Number one, you can find us on Twitter at whybitcoin _. And then everywhere else, you can just go to whybitcoinpodcast.com and just find us find your favorite version of us there.
I keep forgetting that we have a website. We're very official, super duper official.
We're for real.
That's a good get. That's a good URL. If you say so myself.
Thanks. I worked on it. It's cool.
I know nothing about computers. Doug's like, do you want a website? I'm like, I don't know. If you can do it, go for it.
I don't know if this internet thing's going to take off, Doug. I'm not sure. We'll see.
Websites. Okay. Finally, Brecky, you're probably well aware, whenever you're talking about financial stuff, it's always good to say none of it is advice. None of this is financial advice. We're just three dudes talking, and everybody should always do their own research. Let this be some of your research, but then do further research after that. Right on. Okay. Cool. I forgot. We usually open with a comment, hate, or heartwarming story. Doug, you want to take this?
Yeah, I have a little bit of bad news this week, guys, and I'm sorry to bring bad news to an exciting episode with Brecky here, but we got our Discord, which is another place you can find us, by the way, through the website. Go ahead and find that. And it made me really sad because little backstory: I've officially decided to come out as a Bitcoin maximalist, and so now I sort of.
I just want to let you know, I fully support you.
Oh, thank you.
This is support. You have support, and I'm sure there are many other maximalists on Twitter, and you can find them, and they will support you as well. So know that love is strong.
Dude, the thing is, Jeff and I have gone back and forth on this forever, right? Since we started talking about this, before this podcast was even an idea. And I didn't want to be that guy. And then as I listen to people, you know, and I'm listening to podcasts and I'm doing the research and everything else, and I'm starting to realize, and it happened in a way that I didn't even notice it was happening. It was like one of those things where you wake up one morning and you're just like, oh crap, I'm a Bitcoin maximalist. Damn it. Yeah. You know? So anyways, that being said, worked really hard to try to bring close friends, as we all do when we first get into the space, right? We get excited about it. We're like, hey man, you got to check this out. And I have this buddy of mine, he's joined our Discord, and today he starts talking about how, and he was one of the first that really jumped on with me. So I was really excited and happy for him. Today I see him starting to write about how his Ethereum has gone up and everything else. And I just, oh, it just crushed me. It just wounded the soul. It really did.
And it's just so frustrating.
It is. And I understand. I get it. But like I'm at a philosophical place, and I don't know, maybe Brecky, you can speak to this at some point in the cast tonight, in terms of I'm much more into the I like trying to learn about the tech, but I'm older and it doesn't come to me as easily. And so for me, Bitcoin represents much more philosophical purity in terms of what this is than anything else, I think. And so I'm really big on that aspect of it, like what it means to society, what it means to individuals, how people can assert themselves individually and attain sovereignty and stuff like that. So yeah, to see somebody start talking about, I suppose somebody I brought into the fold, as it were, it was very sad. And I would really like a card from both of you, please. Like a get well soon card.
Dude, this is what I went through with you, Brecky, dude. Like I literally started this podcast. It was like, let's make a podcast about Bitcoin. And then I started seeing what he was looking into. I'm like, oh, you're a shit coiner.
talking about me. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this is going to be tough here. So I kind of just slowly over the course of the podcast have been telling you like, dude, don't worry. You're going to have the aha moment sooner or later. It's coming. And Doug would just be like, I don't know what you're talking about. I get it, man. I'm like, no, you don't get it yet, but it's fine. And I think everybody goes through a shitcoin phase. And I'm glad that you're at the other side.
I don't know. What do you think there, Brecky? Did you have a shitcoin phase?
I did. I very much so, unfortunately. What's nice is, I mean, there are some people who don't. You know, like one of the examples I always throw out, like BTC Sessions, he got very lucky. He had great people surrounding him, and he got it immediately. And, you know, he never fell down the shitcoin rabbit hole. And, you know, nowadays we have people, which I think is a great thing. There's so much amazing Bitcoin content out there that, you know, Camilla, who works at Swan Bitcoin with me, she like skipped right past the shitcoiner phase and is a hardcore maximalist. And, you know, you love to see that. But no, I started off, I started off kind of as nothing because I got some Bitcoin pretty early. I bought a little bit in 2013, right at the top, and then we crashed. And I became a hodler, but I didn't even know the word hodl. I didn't even know the word blockchain. You know, I didn't know anything about it. And, you know, then I don't know if we want to get into my whole story here, but
yeah, that was going to be my first question is what's your Bitcoin story? Man? Yeah, well, so just roll with it.
Yeah, we may as well dive in. So, you know, bought a little bit in 2013 at the top. We crashed from like 1200 down to like 200, which now seems hilarious. And I even have emails like where I have an email that I dug it up the other day talking to a friend about the crash. And I was like, yeah, you know, I think the only thing I could do is like maybe buy more. Like it doesn't make sense to sell it. That would be dumb. I think in 4 years, they're going to make only half as much or something like that. Like I was talking about the halving, but I didn't know really what that was either. Of course I didn't take my own advice and buy more. You know, I didn't start paying attention again until, probably 2015, 2016, when, good old Coinbase, and I say good old is a euphemism for screw you Coinbase. You know, when they added Litecoin and Ethereum, and I was like, all right, well, why don't I buy some of these things? What are these? Cause I hadn't gone down the Bitcoin rabbit hole. And back then, like the amount of, content was like kind of non-existent. You had to go to Reddit and, you know, IRC and all these things. And so here comes 2017 and, you know, we had this crazy bull run and I start paying attention. I get really excited and my friends and I, you know, every morning we would have breakfast and talk about crypto at the time. And I was just excited. I was like listening to guys like Brock Pierce and like all these different coins and, you know, we're going to change the world and make it a better place. And, you know, I still think we're going to change the world and make it a better place, but I've obviously come to see that we're going to do that with Bitcoin, not with all these shitcoins.
Yep.
So it was a wild time. Do we just want to like dive into my story?
Yeah, man. I want to hear everything that happened. It's so good.
All right. So, The year is 2017, and I have graduated from film school, and I don't want to make movies anymore. So I ended up making like producing like two movies that no one will probably ever see. I worked as a producer and all that kind of stuff. But at the time, like as I said, I became obsessed with at the time crypto, and I wanted to kind of flex my creative wings a little bit because I've been producing, which isn't the most creative thing, and I've always wanted to write and direct and all that stuff, or I did back in the day. And so I started an Instagram account called Crypto Breakfast, because every morning we'd wake up, talk about crypto over breakfast. And man, people probably, most like new people definitely don't know this, but basically when I first started posting on Instagram, I was trolling the space because I was trying to figure it all out and I didn't understand it and I didn't want to post under my own name because like nobody liked crypto back then except like the degens who were trading and mm-hmm. the people who were FOMOing in. And so every video I posted, I did with a fake German accent every single time.
Okay. Oh, no kidding.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I talked like this the whole time. And when I went to like conferences, I never broke character. I always talk like this. So for like a year and a half, people thought that I was this wild, zany German like influencer type. And really I was trying to make fun of the crypto influencers.
Okay, dude, the first, the first thing I saw of you, you had like a Southern African accent on. I was like, this guy seems like,
Oh, that video.
I was like, this guy seems like he knows his shit. So I kind of started looking at you and then all of a sudden the accent was gone. I was like, what just happened? And yeah, then I realized you were joking. I'm like, this guy is awesome. So
I love doing accents and voices and things like that. So basically at the time I was making memes and just trying to figure out the space. And I didn't want to work in film anymore. And I was kind of in between jobs and I started doing something which maybe you haven't seen because I haven't really done them in ages. I did something called Blockchain and Morty. So if you're a Rick and Morty fan at all, basically what I did was I took episodes of Rick and Morty and I recut them and rewrote them and had Rick and Morty like talk about crypto. Nice. If you watch them from start to finish, you kind of see my journey from crypto shitcoin evangelist to Bitcoin maximalist, because the tone changes, the topics change, they become more serious, still funny. But you know, that was kind of a wild time. And eventually it led to working in the space. I used to work for a different company called Tantra Labs. And kind of, I'm trying to think when it went from crypto to Bitcoin. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, it happens just suddenly. You just wake up and you're like, yeah, all this shit is useless.
Yeah. I had a buddy like, wait, which one of you just converted? Doug, you just converted, right?
Yes, yeah. I did. Yeah, it was me.
So I had a friend like Jeff, not a friend per se, but he was actually the guy who runs like one of the biggest meme accounts on Instagram, who reached out to me. He was like, dude, your memes are hilarious, but like, what the hell are you doing with this crypto bullshit? Like, you gotta go down the Bitcoin rabbit hole. You gotta learn this, man. This is important. And I was just like, yeah, whatever. But it was definitely like needling me in the back of my mind. So I started finally like listening to Tales from the Crypt podcast. And I read the Bitcoin Standard and kind of just listening to Matt, to Marty and Matt every week. Like it worked its way into my lizard brain. And, you know, next thing I knew, like you, Doug, I woke up and I was like, what the hell have I been doing? And so I'd moved to Twitter along with some other friends. Like we didn't even know about crypto or Bitcoin Twitter, and eventually we moved over. And since Crypto Breakfast, the handle was taken, and the guy actually at the time wanted a whole Bitcoin for it, which was like probably, I don't know, $3,000 or something, but still I wasn't going to pay that. So I changed to Crypto Brekkie. And then when I became a maximalist, I became Brekkie von Bitcoin because of the German accent thing. And then when I really like understood the importance of Bitcoin and I wanted to really to help the cause and, you know, promote Bitcoin adoption, that's when I was like, you know what, I got to drop this accent. I don't want people to think I'm just this wild troll anymore. Like I want them to take me seriously. So I gradually dropped the fake accent and, you know, I started working at that other company and then, you know, kind of led to meeting other people. And eventually I became an advisor to Give Bitcoin, which was the predecessor to Swan Bitcoin. And eventually went full time there. And yeah, here we are.
There you are.
That's awesome.
So that's actually interesting to me, because one of the things that I've always enjoyed as I've, I don't know, you don't know this, but Jeff and I are really new to the space, like December new kind of a thing is where we first started to approach this and understand it. And so one of the things that first attracted me, I mean, aside from the concept, you know, the philosophical concepts behind it, was the community, right? Was so, how do you even describe the community? Honestly, it's so off the wall.
Is that what you're talking
I think
about?
You got to go with maximalist community, right? I mean, the memes, the fact that, you know, these are literally financial. You've got Michael Saylor. Okay. He is an adult, right? Like, I don't, did you happen to see the BTC sessions last week when he had like the big names?
I caught some of it, not all of it.
So Michael Saylor's on, right? And everyone behaves themselves. Like, everyone's okay. You know, we're all proper and we're not throwing too many F bombs. And Michael Saylor is clearly the adult in the room. But at the same time, he is a full grown man who puts laser eyes on his Twitter profile. Like, that kind of thing really does, I think, it for me, it did, you know, it attracts you to the space because you're just like, who are these nut jobs that are like, yeah. They're so smart, you know, they know this stuff like inside and out, and they're talking about changing the world. And you listen to them talk and you're like, I believe this stuff, but they're not wearing suits and ties. They're making memes. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is one of the biggest differences. And I think, honestly, I think it's one of the things that is good to bring people into the space, you know, like, put it this way. Do you want to sit down and listen to Michael Saylor, or do you want to listen to Janet Yellen talk for an hour? You know what I mean?
Like, I think
put a gun in my mouth. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the financial system pre-Bitcoin was made and built to be boring, so people didn't want to pay attention to it.
Right.
Like, some videos I even watch on Bitcoin, and some of them I just, because I want to understand the financial system, I'll watch and I'll be like, oh my God, I'm falling asleep, even though I really care. Like, I really care. I want to understand what Bitcoin's fixing, but you watch some of these people talk, it's like, it's programmed in to make you want to go play
and
video
then
games.
The prices rose by 0.5%. And people were... Yeah, it's just, it's awful. It's awful.
It's brutal.
Well, so go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what's crazy is, like, if you had, even back, I don't know, 4 years ago, like, the community was there, and it was probably just as crazy, but, you know, things have really reached another level, like Laser Eyes, for example. You know, like, if you'd asked me, like, if senators would be putting Laser Eyes, or people like Michael Saylor would be here, like, I would have, like, laughed in your face. Like, yeah, that's coming, but maybe, you know, maybe in 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
But you guys are, like, what you're touching on is something really important, I think. Memes are, they're not just silly images. They are, they're ideas at their core. And they're ways to transmit ideas in very simple ways that allow people to understand them without having to sit through an hour-long boring talk. You know, if you can get an idea across in a meme, well, you've won, you know? And, right. And yep. What people say... You know, I think people are right when they say that, you know, Bitcoin doesn't need people. Like, Bitcoin will survive and will thrive regardless of what we do, regardless if I put out a great meme tomorrow. But what a great meme can do is it can help onboard people. And there's a difference between, in my mind, between Bitcoin doing well and people doing well because of Bitcoin. Mm. You know, if we meme harder, if we make all these amazing memes and get and break through to people, people like Doug, okay, who resisted. If we break through to these putzes, all right, okay, you know what we can do is we can save the world. Like, it's not a matter of like okay, great, all these financial institutions are buying Bitcoin, good for them, but that's good for Bitcoin and then for the
people that are in already, yeah.
Right, or for de-risking Bitcoin at a higher level. But, like, that doesn't necessarily...
change the world.
Right, you know, but...
That's not the project that Bitcoin is, in my view.
Well, I think Bitcoin's taken over everything. So the more regular people you can get in before the financial institutions... That's our goal with this podcast. Like, we made this podcast just to get people that know nothing about Bitcoin. I think most people are going to be like, why is Bitcoin being talked about? So if you have known nothing, this is why, because it's changing the world, man.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, but I agree with you, Brecky. I think that Satoshi had a mission statement, even if it wasn't completely laid out. I mean, he did to a large part and a large extent, right? He says that this is to help the little guy. I'm paraphrasing magnificently here, but, you know, it's for the little guy. And so, yeah, it is great that these big institutions are getting in. And I totally agree with that, because it does, it gives validity. It gives it, what do they call that? Gravitas.
Social proof,
right?
Also.
Yeah. So that's good, because then, you know, like, okay, you know, my folks, I've been working on them since December, right? And I just can't get them to move off the dime, you know? Yeah. But stuff like, listen, Tesla just bought 1.5 billion of this stuff. Like, it's got to have some value, right? Like, that helps, you know? But then you also want it. Like, I don't want to just reach the 60-year-olds, you know, I gotta, you gotta reach like my buddy Justice, who, you know, he's mid 20s and he grew up in the meme culture. He understands memes, you know, better than I do. And for, so you have to be able to, I guess Jeff brings up a good point. It just, it kind of like encompasses everything. Like the bigger it gets, the longer it goes, it starts to just like Satoshi threw a rock in a pond and those rings are just kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. fanning out, and they're starting to absorb culture. They're starting to absorb finances. And so I just think the meme culture is, it's really inviting, I guess, is the word I would use. Does that make that work? Does that make sense? Yeah,
it can also be like reaffirming of the things that you're learning. Like, you know, like you'll go and watch like a 2-hour Robert Breedlove video, and then you'll see a meme that totally encapsulates everything that was in that video. And you're like, yeah, exactly. But
you, it's like, it's fun to laugh at jokes that are like smart jokes. Like even I got with the laser eyes, although it's just about Bitcoin getting to 100,000. Like once you really understand Bitcoin at 100,000,
Jeff, it's about way more than Bitcoin going to 100,000, right?
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Bro, do you even Bitcoin? Come on.
The price, but the price at 100,000.
Oh, look, the new maximalist is rearing his head. He wants to show us all how maximalist he is.
Ooh. Yeah, he's very, very aggressive.
I want to be one of the cool kids, please.
It feels good to be a cool kid, man. Here, okay, so Brecky, I have a question for you, another question. Doug is having a hard time realizing that he can't convince people, and I've also noticed this. Is there anybody in your life that you've been trying to convince for like years at this point that still hasn't caught on? And have you noticed if there's been a difference within the last few months given the new bull run that we're in now?
Luckily, I mean, the person I've been trying to convince forever is my dad. And luckily I got him off zero relatively recently. Probably within the last, I don't know, 4 months or so. But, you know, he hasn't been bitten by the Bitcoin bug. He's not sitting around like, you know, reading books and pod devouring podcasts and things like that. You know, I think he sees some value in it, but he's still questioning. He's still like, okay, what could tank Bitcoin? There's got to be something wrong here. He's still in that phase. Yeah. And, you know, like,
you should do that all the time.
That's what
should,
but he's not putting the time in to realize that the answers are out there. He just isn't reading them. And the thing is, like, you know, until he gets to that point, like, I got a text message from him the other day. I was going to bring this up earlier. And I've been telling him that Bitcoin is literally the only project that is going to be around forever, that has the best chance at making the world a better place, and that pretty much every altcoin, not all altcoins, are trash, and some of them are scams. And I get a text from him. He's like, what are your thoughts on Cardano? And I almost pulled my hair out. I was just
I thought you were going to say that moon project or whatever it was. I really thought that's where you're going to go.
The moonshot is stupid. Is that,
yeah, whatever the hell.
For some reason, it's Cardano and Litecoin and Chainlink are always
Litecoin is actually one of the reasons why I didn't get into Bitcoin. Like, I knew about crypto for like 10 years prior, you know, or maybe probably like 5 or 6, but like, because I had buddies that bought into Litecoin and they just bought it at the top and then they got just wrecked. I was like, I'm never touching that stuff. That's a scam, like across the board. But I do have something to piggyback on there, Becky. do you think it's possible? Because you and I both are talking about, you know, our parents and having a problem.
No. I don't know. I'm sorry. Go on. I'm kidding.
So I'm just wondering, do you think it's because they have a different view of money? And by that, I mean, I grew up, now I'm 44, so I don't know how old you are, but I'm assuming you're younger than I am. I grew up knowing, I mean, I remember thinking this very clearly in my freshman year of high school. I said, I will never see Social Security. It will never find its way into my pocket. That is just money gone right off the bat. Like, I knew even back then that there was no security net for me. There never was going to be. And I'm just wondering if it's because the people, like the older people who have always worried about money in the sense of like thinking about it and contemplating it, they're more prone to like be like a sailor or something, you know, mm-hmm. where they're thinking about it and they recognize Bitcoin for what it is. But folks like my folks who And I said this last week, I think, on the cast, where I had a conversation with my dad like a month ago, and it wasn't confrontational, but it was very direct. And it was, you told me lies about money, and it's not your fault because you were told lies about money. And I'm just wondering if, like, because that generation and the generation before it were lied to so badly and left uneducated, that they've grown into this where they just don't perceive it as a concern. Is that, I mean, do you get that sense from your dad? I this is totally anecdotal and I get it, but I'm just trying to figure out, what is it about people that they don't recognize the crisis that we're coming up on with the fiat currency, mm-hmm. and they don't recognize opportunities like a Bitcoin, or they recognize it, but then they shoot off, which I think is just not being familiar with the space with shit coins. Like that kind of stuff is fascinating to me. And I want to, cause you are somebody who is like right there in the trenches in terms of how do you, like when you make a meme, right? You're trying to appeal to a certain psychology, I would imagine. Right. So how does that process kind of work for you? And do you have to, do you try to tailor it, let's say, between like an older crowd versus a younger crowd, or how does that process work for you?
Sure. Well, in terms of my dad, at least, and like what you were just talking about, I tend to agree with you. I think it's I don't even know if my dad was like told lies about money. He just didn't like, he doesn't understand what it is because nobody understood what it is, you know, like I think he's kind of backed off these arguments because they usually turn into yelling matches between us. But like, you know, he would bring up like, oh, well, the dollar is backed by the U.S. military and the full faith of blah, blah, blah of the government. And I'm just like, Dad, what does that mean? Like the money is like the value of the dollar is determined by the markets, regardless of whether we go to war or not, you know? So yeah, it's just a lack of understanding and brainwashing. And, you know, I was like that too. Like, you know, I was very patriotic coming out of high school. This was probably around the time of, I don't know, we've been at war for so long, I can't remember, you know, and I'm still patriotic, but my views on patriotism have changed. You know, like I tend to try to espouse the ideals that of the founding of the United States rather than the
Brecky and I are new best friends. He didn't know. It just happened.
Did we just become best friends? But what was I going to say? But when it comes to memes, you know, it really depends on a lot of things, actually. You know, it depends on, you know, what message are you trying to get across? Who's your target audience? Is it focused? Is it broad? You know, and you know, I wish I put it as that much thought into every meme I make, but I don't. A lot of the times it's just a reactionary thing and I'm just like, oh, this would be funny, and I do it and see how it goes. But you know what I would recommend to you guys, anyone who's listening? I don't know if you guys have seen this, but do you guys know who Bitstein is, right? On Twitter?
I don't know if I know that one.
He's you know Pierre Richard though, yeah?
Yes, I just introduced Doug to him yesterday.
Awesome, yeah. So Pierre Richard and Michael Goldstein, but he goes by Bitstein, are some of the founders of the Nakamoto Institute. So he and Pierre have a podcast. I don't know if they've done it in a long time, but they're very good friends. And Michael is like one of the smartest people in Bitcoin. He did a presentation at BitBlock Boom in 2019, I believe. On memes. I'll send it to you guys. It is literally all about memetic theory and how to meme Bitcoin to the moon and how to meme shitcoiners into the ground. And it actually sent like shockwaves through Twitter because somebody tweeted out like the name of the talk or something like that in a couple of the slides, and they were taken completely out of context, and like, you know, people like crying toxic, like, oh, Bitcoiners are so toxic and, you know, aggressive and blah, 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 blah. But like, really, the talk was the most measured, you know, calm thing I've ever heard. The advice was not to like ridicule people. It was the most logical way to meme the Bitcoiner argument to the world. And it's a fascinating talk. And for anyone who's interested in memes and like memetic theory and like how to construct a meme, like it's required watching, basically. Wow. It's incredible.
That is cool. I didn't know that existed, and I'm going to watch it right after this.
Oh yeah. The talk was probably 45 minutes, and by the time it was over and we all checked our phones, like all of Twitter was was in flames, like trying to lionize Michael Bitstein. It was absurd. We're all there just like, all right, who talked about this? And like, these people are all wrong. Like they don't know anything. So
that's crazy.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, meme culture and Bitcoin Twitter is pretty friggin' awesome.
Well, and I mean, if you actually look at it, meme culture really isn't new. I mean, the medium that it currently uses is, but people were making political cartoons that were one panel. I mean,
that's true,
since the printing press was invented, you know. So
I would argue that the first memes were the cave paintings in France thousands of years ago. You know, memes are literally ideas. Like that's right. Like how serious they are and like how serious I think people should take them. Like the format that we see now of like, you know, the common format of a photo with like text at the top, text at the bottom is great. It works. But like a meme can literally be anything.
That's correct. True. Right. And so, yeah. So for us to as Bitcoiners to kind of lock into that, I think that I really do think that sets us apart. You know what I mean? But that's just me. And like I said, it's just one of those things that really attracted me to the space. And so, yeah, it's interesting to hear your thoughts on that. So
that's awesome. Okay. Enough meme talk. I want to do some learning from Brecky.
One last meme comment, if I can.
Okay, of course.
I just want to stick the needle twist the knife into the shitcoiners, because one thing I've noticed lately is that I see a lot of Ethereum people stealing Bitcoin memes and trying to co-opt them. And it is just the cringiest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like there's one, and I don't want to like give them airtime really, but like we Bitcoiners talk about sound money all the time, right? Which is not not only a Bitcoin thing. It's a general thing. Mm-hmm. And then these freaking Ethereum people are trying to push the meme of ultrasound money, and I'm just like, what is wrong?
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Okay, I've not seen any of that stuff. So fortunately, I've had Jeff kind of like prodding me, and he directed me to Maximalist Corner when it comes to Twitter. Mm-hmm. So I don't see a lot of like just crypto Twitter at all.
Good on you, sir.
Yeah, Jeff's had he's like
I've been
even though
pushing,
I'm older
man.
Than him by like a decade, he's been like my big brother on this one, kind of like, nah, come on, you don't want to go over there, like, you know, we just kind of like shoves him on the shoulder, kind of a thing. Yes. No, come on, stay away from that.
Shitcoiners are like, they're literally like drug dealers. They're just like, hey, you want some of this DeFi? I got some DeFi for you. You can make crazy gains, man.
Gains.
Let me ask
gains.
You a question, Brecky. You really knowledgeable on this space. I can just, and we're best friends now, just so you know, but legitimately, I had this sort of epiphany, and this is kind of where my maximalism came about.
Oh, I love epiphanies. Go on.
So I came to this conclusion that Bitcoin was built and made for the common man. Like that was the goal. And everything since then, the Ethereums, the Litecoins, pretty much everything has been built for the system. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been to, you know, so that insurance companies can execute contracts better. And, you know, just like all these things, like that's how I perceive them, that Bitcoin was made for the common man, and it was meant so that the common man would have a store of value and hopefully, you know, a medium of exchange that could not be screwed with. And all of the rest, they're all basically designed to make banking more efficient, or, you know, all of the institutions that are screwing the common man currently, like right now, those are all what shitcoins do, that they cater to those things for the most part. And like, I don't care about smart contracts. I don't. I mean, maybe at some point I might, but like when you're talking about it as what it is, like I want to get paid in cash. You know, you know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like that's my breakdown of it. And I'm just, what is your take on that?
I'm generally with you. I think more that it's like Bitcoin does what it does, and it does it very well. And what bothers me is when shitcoiners conflate whatever it is they're doing with what Bitcoin's doing. Like, I don't even see them in the same category bracket, you know, like even let's abstract away the shitcoins and just like, talk thematically about what shitcoiners are doing in DeFi, for example, or smart contracts, whatever these things are. Maybe there's some interesting tech there. Who knows? Maybe there is. But in terms of the gravity of what Bitcoin is doing and the effect it's going to have on the world, they don't even compare. Like Bitcoin to me is revolutionizing the monetary base layer of the entire freaking world, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so I like to say Satoshi didn't like, you know, come up with Bitcoin because, you know, it took too long to swipe a credit card and wait for his coffee. Like, he did it to because the banks were evil and screwing it, the common man, like you're talking about, and fiat money as well. Like, it wasn't a fair playing field. And what Bitcoin does is creates equality of opportunity. And like you were touching on you know, the shitcoins and smart contracts. And, you know, I do think that, you know, eventually we will see more smart contracts on Bitcoin and things like that. And people will experiment and maybe there will be, you know, really cool use cases that we haven't thought of that are enabled by Bitcoin. But the key thing here for me is that, you know, whether those things happen or not, they should be tied to the chain that has the greatest chance of succeeding, that has the highest level of security. You know, like if I hypothetically wanted to use like a smart contract escrow service when I buy a house or something, like I'm not going to go do it on some random shitcoin I've never heard of. Like I want it to be tied to Bitcoin. Yeah. So,
well, right. And that's kind of my point, right? Like the community didn't forward that because it wasn't a concern for the community at the time.
We have bigger concerns. We have bigger fish to fry. You know?
And so all of these other ones, they really do seem to me like they were created because, you know, somebody in Wall Street said, I have an issue here and I need this solved because otherwise Bitcoin's going to screw me on it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it feels like to me. So I don't know.
I get that feeling. I think it's less that and more that these shit, like, so whereas Bitcoin creates a level playing field and enriches not only the common man, but every man, every person on earth, right? These shitcoins are... What I think the nuance is, I think they're mimicking the old system in a lot of ways. They are enriching enriching individuals. They're enriching a certain subset of individuals, you know? So like take the common example of Ethereum. Like a lot of people who are new to the space don't know that Ethereum had a 70% pre-mine. 70%. That's not 10% for developers. That's 70%. A lot of which is held by a very small number of people. You know, that's seniorage. That's the Cantillon effect. And like,
even just centralized, it's very central. It's just centralized.
And even something like proof of stake, for example, which is garbage, is literally the embodiment of the Cantillon effect. It is enriching those who are closer to the source.
Could you, I was going to ask you to clarify Cantillon for
yeah, sure.
You know, for those in the audience that don't understand, not anybody on this show right now. I mean, we all understand.
This is bad. I haven't.
No, honestly, guys, I'm just parroting shit I hear Robert Breedlove say, so don't worry about it.
Breedlove's the best.
But no, the Cantillon effect basically refers to the idea that those who are closest to the production of new money benefit far greater than those who receive it last. So central banks and those close to central banks, and you know, they get time to benefit from the new issuance of money before others do. And by the time that new money reaches, you know, the everyman at the bottom of the totem pole, you know, there might already be inflation. And the same thing goes with proof of stake. Like if you're already a large Ethereum holder, for example, in their new proof of stake universe, like you're going to benefit disproportionately to the guys who are just getting in. Mm-hmm. That's not a fair system. Like, yeah, there are Bitcoin whales who have tons of Bitcoin, but like they took a massive risk. If they still hold their Bitcoin from 2010 and they still have it, good for them. You know, like they were supporting the system. Like guys who were part of the pre-mine, okay, maybe they took a little bit of a risk, but like, it's not the same.
I think the fact that Satoshi is anonymous, nobody knows who he is the I like to think of it as the most important thing about Bitcoin, because once you put somebody...
Well,
like,
look, guys, I know who he is. I'm not going to tell you.
But... Well, that was going to be one of my questions. Is it you?
will you tell us off?
No. Don't even try.
Okay. I mean, other people claim...
Well, no, but I think the big thing about what you're saying there, Jeff, is that Satoshi, I mean, we can look at it. He hasn't moved it. He has not profited from it. Whoever he is, right? From what I understand, none of his coins have moved. Mm-hmm. So,
or Shkli.
What's that?
Not just he, it could be Shkli.
Could be, okay. I mean, I'm just using the eponymous. Is that the word? Eponymous?
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to see how nerdy you guys are. That was a Futurama reference, but
No.
I've only watched Futurama. Well,
I don't have cable.
It's okay. It's all right.
It's on Netflix.
I don't have Netflix either.
Dude, I've watched all the way through
Futurama. Are you guys watching Bitcoin TV?
You told me about Bitcoin TV, and I still need to delete a certain app on my phone. But Bitcoin
is
TV
is a real thing. This sounds made up.
We made it up. It's if you go to bitcointv.network or you can go to cornhub.tv.
Cornhub?
Yes. Cornhub.tv.
It's very simple. It's a hub about the corn.
Yeah, exactly. We have a 24/7 stream of curated Bitcoin content on the Swan Bitcoin YouTube channel. Right now it's about, I don't know, a little over 70 hours of content on a loop, but it has a price chart there. It has some other metrics. It's a lot of fun. There's a chat that's always going on. The logo does look oddly similar to the other hub that people might be familiar with, but,
Soon to have
the Why Bitcoin podcast.
My wife listens to this show, Brecky. God damn it.
Hey, look, we could put the Why Bitcoin podcast on there if you did video.
But okay. We're looking
at it. Well, I guess we're starting to do video, Jeff.
Yeah, we should do it. Next episode, Brecky, episode 2.
Well, you know, Jeff and I both came from the Twitch background. Like, we met each other through the Twitch universe. So it's not that we made a conscious decision that we didn't want to do cameras. Like, we wanted people to just be listening to us as opposed to the shenanigans that can sometimes happen, whatever. So, but, I mean,
for me also, yeah. I did most of my Bitcoin learning through podcasts, and not one of them I watched a video. It was while I was working, I was listening to podcasts. So I didn't see the value in video. I mean, I'm sure people watch them, but
I'm kind of with you guys on that. Like, even with Bitcoin TV, it's something I put on in the background and I just listen to.
You're just listening to it anyways. Yeah.
All right. Okay. What's your next question, Jeff? Okay. By the way, Brecky, for the record, we actually sat down and we brainstormed a bunch of questions, and we've gone off script already, not script, show notes, show mapping,
sure.
but for you, only the best is what I'm saying.
Yeah. We sat down and worked out together. Okay.
Yeah, we actually worked for this episode. So
we put in all of like maybe 10, 12, 13.
Shut up. It was like an hour. Don't whine.
Okay. Right, Brecky, I have a serious question for you. Being complete noobs to the space and trying to learn as much about Bitcoin as possible, there's a glaring blank space in my knowledge, and that is Lightning. I saw that you put on a show about Lightning with BTC Sessions and stuff today. Can you just, like, for the brand new people to Bitcoin, people that are listening to this that don't know anything about Bitcoin, can you explain Lightning?
Can I? No. I mean, yes, but let me just preface it by saying that I'm kind of a Lightning noob. Like, okay. I did set up probably one of like the first Lightning nodes back in the day, but like I didn't know what I was doing. And I've been using Lightning for a while, but only recently did I decide, I'm like, all right, I gotta, basically when Umbral came out, I was like, oh, this looks great and easy to use. Like,
wasn't that great?
Oh my God.
I set up a node with Umbral as well, man. That was like cake.
Highly recommend it to anybody to do that. But I still haven't gone down the rabbit hole of like understanding channel management and routing. I'm in the process of doing that. But at a high level, you know, basically what Lightning solves is the issue of payments and micropayments. You know, with Bitcoin, you know, if anyone has looked at the fees lately, like the fees have gone up, and the fees will continue to go up, and that's a good thing. You know, like it helps protect spam on the network. Like it's not a bad thing that fees are going up, because Bitcoiners essentially decided to scale, in my opinion, the proper way, using layers, using things like Lightning Network and Liquid. Mm-hmm. And so basically Lightning works using liquidity channels. So I could open up a channel with Jeff. You know, Jeff could open up a channel with somebody else, you know, whatever. And basically these channels allow Bitcoin to be sent in a trustless way nearly instantly and nearly for free, which is amazing. And Lightning, you know, you don't have to run your own node to use it. You can use custodial wallets, which I think most people will do to start. But what's cool about it is it enables things like, you know, for example, there's a company called Zebedee that created a standalone app that lets you pay with Lightning to enter a match of CSGO. So you can play CSGO with your friends, and depending on how you play, you'll earn Bitcoin. And it's all done through Lightning. Which is, it's super cool.
That's very cool.
There's this app called Sphinx, which allows you to stream sats to you can actually listen to podcasts in the app.
Yeah, we're on
the Sphinx Network.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
so like it enables all these amazing things that you know aren't possible on the base chain.
So the way it was explained to me was, and I'm asking for clarification or understanding, not necessarily positing this as fact, but so it's basically a side channel where a series of transactions are given back and forth between two players, right? And then when they decide to close out, that's when it goes into the main chain, right? So it saves the chain space basically by doing a bunch of microtransactions if necessary or what. So like you and I have, right? And we like
let's say we go drinking every weekend, like, and each week, like, we have to pay each other back, you know?
Right. So like this week I buy a bottle of scotch and you're going to pay me for half of it, let's say. Right. And then next week you buy the bottle and I pay you back for it. And it just kind of goes back and forth like that. And then at some point we're like, we're not going to drink anymore. Cause I don't know, Brecky does a voice I don't like or something, and we're not going to be friends anymore. And then we close the channel. And then all those transactions basically just kind of like they get balanced out. And then that gets introduced into the blockchain. Is that right?
At a high level, yes. Okay. I'm not the most technical, so I'm not 100% sure. But I believe those funds are still on the blockchain, but I think they're locked in a multi-sig address. Okay. Something like that.
I guess my point is Lightning solves two things. Number one, it solves the problem of like an ever-expanding blockchain, right? Because at some point, people have to store that. And like when I did the node, it took me 3 or 4 days to get up to speed. You know what I mean?
Well, that's like, Lightning's not going to fix that because, you know, we're going to keep churning out blocks every 10 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. And I think the blocks will continue to be full for a long time. It's the thing is like with storage, like that's going to get cheaper and cheaper over time. So I don't think that's an issue, but it is like, it does solve the payments issue. So if we want to be using Bitcoin, you know, for a circular economy type thing, and, you know, we want it to be the currency that not only the savings asset, but like the transactional currency, you know, you can't wait 10 minutes to buy coffee. You can't wait for it to confirm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it becomes this instant. Have you, but just total side note, have you heard of the Ring of Fire project?
I have. I'm in the Telegram group, but I haven't really, got in there, so I don't really know much about it.
Yeah, I joined up about, I don't know. It sounds like we kind of had the same parallel here. Like I joined up about a week and a half ago because I'm trying to figure this out. It seems really cool. I just don't quite understand what it is, but anyways, I was hoping you had something for that, but that's fine. You don't know anything. That's whatever.
Okay, let me ask
you. I
know nothing. Dude, I have one question. I could have asked you this on Twitter, but I'm just going to ask you now. If I have a Lightning wallet on, say, Blue Wallet, can I send Bitcoin from my main wallet to my Lightning wallet, or does it disappear? Because I remember learning about shitcoins, and it's like, if you send your Ethereum to a Bitcoin wallet, it just disappears. So is it the same for Bitcoin to a Lightning wallet? Is there like a different kind of Bitcoin you need, or you just ship it?
It's slightly different. Like if you wanted to get Bitcoin on the Lightning network, there's a process to do that. You can send your Bitcoin to the regular Bitcoin address in Blue Wallet, and I believe they will get it onto the Lightning network for you. But when you're using Blue Wallet, for example, it's a custodial wallet, so you're using their channels, which is why you don't have to think about liquidity and whether, you know, you have enough liquidity to send the funds. They make it easy because they have much larger channels that they're managing and they're plugged into the rest of the Lightning network.
That is one of the benefits of the Lightning network, right? Is the idea that you can actually use somebody else's channel. So like if Brecky has one set up, right, I can send money through his Lightning channel to your Lightning wallet, right? That's
exactly. That's basically like the Lightning, whatever, depending on what your wallet, but like it looks for a route. Like it might take 2 hops to get to someone else's wallet. It might take 10 hops, but you know, Lightning network scales infinitely, and you can, you know, we keep adding more and more nodes, which means there are more and more possible routes for your payments to take. Huh. And basically you just have to, when it's looking for a route, it's looking for channels that have the liquidity to get there. Like each node, when you run a Lightning node, you have a receiving capacity and a sending capacity, and that varies by channel. You know, if I open a channel with you for 1,000,000 sats and you open a channel with me for 1,000,000 sats, that means that I can send 1,000,000 sats one way and you can send 1,000,000 sats the other way. But if we both do that, or let's say I send 1,000,000 sats to you, but I haven't received 1,000,000 sats back in the other way in the channel, I'm stuck. I can only receive. So there's ways to balance your channels and things like that. And, you know, there's other tools that Lightning Labs has come out with, like Lightning Loop, which is great, that allows you to kind of get Bitcoin on and off the Lightning network more easily. But again, like, these are things that I'm just diving down the rabbit hole. Okay, so I am not the person to ask.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's fair. It's still one of those fresh things to learn about. Okay. So something you might know about then, let's talk a little bit about Swan Bitcoin. If you could tell us kind of what your role is there, and then also, I'm curious as to how you can explain why Swan is better than, say, a Coinbase or any of the other exchanges, and how Bitcoin-only exchanges are far superior for, like, so many reasons, but I'm sure you have more than I have.
Sure, man. So, I mean, Swan basically came about as a response to all of the bad exchanges out there in a lot of ways. You know, it's a company founded by hardcore Bitcoiners. It's essentially a requirement of the company that you must be a hardcore Bitcoiner to work there. There are no shitcoiners in our ranks whatsoever. And initially, it started as a DCA-only product. So when we first came out, it was you had to set up an automatic recurring buy. Now we have instant buys as well. But you know, that was kind of where it started, and that's the heart of the product, because we want people to accumulate Bitcoin. We want them to build, you know, their stash of freedom cash, if you will. Like, like, we're all about people owning their future, and so we like to say that, like, we don't have a marketing department, we have an education department. Like, that's what we're all about. We want people to go down the Bitcoin rabbit hole. You know, half of everyone on our team, like, has a role that they play. You know, Jan is one of our founders, and, you know, he's the head of all technology at Swan, but, like, he's a fantastic writer. Like, he wrote Inventing Bitcoin. You know, someone like Brandon Quittam, he's heading our comms now, but he's, you know, also a fan. Like, everyone at the company doubles as a writer and an educator and an evangelist for Bitcoin. So it's a really special place to work. So there's that, which I think is awesome. Like, you know, that all these people kind of, like, are here for the long haul. They all believe in Bitcoin and they just want to see everyone succeed. In terms of, like, the product itself and, like, why I think it's better, like, well, I mean, just to contrast Coinbase, like, they're a shitcoin casino. Like, you open up the app, and it's just like you're slammed with, like, 1,000 different coins that do garbage things. And
they even give you, they even give you notifications. Now this one's available. It's like, fuck, get this notification off of my screen.
So I haven't used it in years, but I've heard stories. So yeah, no, thank you. And, like, you know, one of our goals was to become, like, the most recommended place to buy Bitcoin. And I think we've gotten there. And, you know, for anyone who's either new to Bitcoin or has, you know, been in Bitcoin a while, and you're just trying to onboard friends and family, like, imagine sending them to Coinbase. Like, you're going to get those calls, like, should I buy Cardano? Should I buy Doge or whatever they have? You know, that doesn't happen at Swan. You know, we make it easy. Everyone who signs up gets, like, amazing educational emails from us. You know, you can turn them off if you want, you know, but we really try to get people to go down the Bitcoin rabbit hole and understand why Bitcoin's so special, why it's so important, you know, why it benefits them and the rest of the world. You know, and on top of that, like, we make it really easy. Like, our fee structure is because we only focus on Bitcoin, because our overhead costs are a lot lower than, you know, having to run nodes for all these shit coins that no one's heard of, like Coinbase does. You know, we have the time, we have the manpower to, you know, to focus on Bitcoin, and we don't have to charge, you know, the fees that Coinbase charges. Like, the way it works at Swan is if you do $50 a week or more on your recurring plan, and you prepay your fees for the year, it's only 0.99% to buy. And that's for instant buys, and that's also for recurring buys. And yeah, if you want to use a trading interface and deal with limit orders and stuff, you can get, you can find lower fees that way. But if you don't want to think about it and you want to set it and forget it, you know, for a recurring plan, and you just want to smash buy whenever you feel like it, like, you know, I don't think it gets easier than Swan.
That's full awesome. Disclosure, I actually set up a Swan account this afternoon.
Woo!
Because I wanted to do some field research, and I wanted to know if I had to take it to task or not. you know, nobody gets a free ride here on Why Bitcoin. Let me tell you that. But no, it was honestly, full disclosure, it took me all of 7 minutes, I think, to get totally set up, and that included going through the KYC stuff, which I'm not a fan of. A fan of the KYC.
Hey, go use BISC. You got to try it. I actually haven't tried it out yet. It's on my to-do list.
But, does Swan use CoinJoin, that CoinJoin thing?
No, we don't do that. Okay. Be nice if we
do that. I do like the fact that you guys, I mean, I could literally, and I was playing around with it a little bit, I could set up just $10 a week. $10 a week is something you guys offered me, and that's, I mean, I'm kind of maxed out right now in terms of, like, I've
like still have chairs, but
I still have chairs, but no, but I actually did tap into like retirement plans and everything else, and but in terms of, you know, continuing to hodl and to grow my stash a little bit, I will give it the Doug seal of approval on this one. I found it to be very easy to use, and I'm going to look at the fees a little bit and just double check everything. But in terms of just getting in and getting something and getting yourself into the Bitcoin game, guys, to your listeners, I can recommend it because it does what it says it's going to do. And I appreciate that. And now I have a direct line to Brecky. So if you have a problem, you just call me up and, you know,
well, that's actually
whatever. What, it's fine.
That's actually one other point I want to make, you know, while you might spend, you know, 3 to 8 weeks waiting for a reply from Coinbase's support, you know, we've got real people and they'll answer you, you know, the day of. So, and we're all active on Twitter and you can DM all of us. And, you know,
that is huge. So, yeah. Honestly, I've had a massive issue with BlockFi because they had a third parties with the connection. I still use BlockFi. I don't care. I know you don't like it, Jeff. I don't care.
Well, you still haven't got there yet. You just don't get it.
No, it's not about that. It's about making my money work times. For me, brother.
You've said it. So it's not about, yeah, dude, you just don't get it yet. Brecky, what do you think about BlockFi? Or would you rather not say?
No. I can talk about BlockFi. I used to use it a while ago. I don't think that the returns they give are worth the risk.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to putting your Bitcoin to work, you know, hypothetically, but I think the returns need to be much higher, like much higher. Like if
is that something that maybe Swan would consider in the future?
No, I don't think so. I think, we, you know, we're just kind of focused on our core product. And so go ahead.
The good thing about Swan and just Bitcoin only exchanges, which I appreciate, like when I met you first, I'm in Canada, so you told me about Bull Bitcoin, which I signed up for. But when I started talking to Doug about Bitcoin, I had to explain about Coinbase, and I was like, I guess this is where you go, this is the thing. And now with Swan and Bull Bitcoin and all these Bitcoin only exchanges, I've had another friend that came to ask me, like, okay, how do I do this? And I just set them to the Bitcoin only exchange, and then I don't have to deal with all the shitcoin questions. It's great. It's like, that's if you want to do that, I just, whatever, man, that's your head in the smasher, not mine. So
Jeff, did you see the ShakePay news today?
Yeah. ShakePay. I tweeted at BTC sessions. I'm like, dude, why are you pimping out a shitcoin thing? I guess all they have is Bitcoin and Ethereum. But still, like, why do they need to sell it? I also asked them, I was like, why are you guys selling Ethereum? I don't get it. Like, I really don't get it.
I mean, but, look, I'll tell you the honest truth about it right now, especially in a bull run. Like, they're making money. They're making money on fees.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's what it's always about. And you can't begrudge them that, right?
Like, yes, I can.
No, well, here's the difference. So, like, I used to work for a company I'm not going to say who they were, but they were Bitcoin only for a long time. And they were actually a kind of a, they have a similar product to BlockFi. Basically, like you could earn yield on your Bitcoin. And they were Bitcoin only for a while. And then they started dabbling in Ethereum. And that was basically when I was already in the door at Swan. I was working part time for both. So I was, you know, in a good position to do this. But that's kind of when I was like, hey, guys, like, it's been a great run, but, you know, I want to go work for them full time. And our missions were kind of different. And, you know, for some companies, like, the profits are more important. I'm more of the belief that if you have a great product, like, you can be mission driven. And, you know, if you're selling Ethereum, you're supporting Ethereum. You're tacitly supporting it. Even if it's just for the money, it doesn't matter. You know, and so, you know, that's why I love Swan, is because, like, hey, we could go out and sell shit coins. We probably make a lot more money than we're already making, and we're doing great. But like, that's not why we're here. And mm-hmm. that's why there are companies like Fold, companies like Casa, like all these companies that like have found a way to make money and do well while also supporting Bitcoin and understanding what it means to be Bitcoin only versus, you know, Bitcoin and.
Yeah. So you bring up Fold. See, this is my thing, because ShakePay is all excited about having the first Canadian credit card, whatever. First off, I've seen like 1,000 Canadian credit cards, and there's so every credit card that comes out says the first payment card. So I don't know what that's about. Hopefully that stops soon.
The news today was they have like a Fold-like product now. So you spend your dollars, your Canadian what is BTC Sessions called? Canadian Moose Shekels?
They're called
Moose Shekels. Moose Shekels. Loonies,
and I feel like Loonies is funny enough. He's really pushing his Moose Shekels.
Moose Shekels. you get Bitcoin back, you know? Like, even though they have Ethereum, like, I'd be using that in a heartbeat if I was in Canada and I couldn't use Fold.
So I have a Fold. I'm like 40,000th in line for my Fold card, and there's Canadian things I can buy on Fold. So I hope I haven't been misunderstood this whole time, because I've been waiting for my Fold card, but I'm pretty sure it's just a credit card and you can use a credit card anywhere. There's another one, the Lolly app. I couldn't even download the app, but Fold, I've been spinning my Fold app for months now. So
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's a currency with Bitcoin rewards. You use fiat, but it's a currency reward for Fold.
Okay.
Right, but that's what today's announcement was for ShakePay. So yeah. you spend your Canadian dollars and you earn Bitcoin back.
So right. Yeah, I'm going to sign up for it. I'm annoyed that they sell Ethereum. Maybe I got to let it go.
ShakePay?
ShakePay.
Okay, I haven't heard of it.
You can shake your phone and earn sats for shaking your phone. So
what?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Okay. Canadians are weird.
Whatever, man. If it gets people into Bitcoin, I'm for it.
We got to shake because we're pretty scared up here, dude. Okay. Brecky, you said you were on a time crunch, so we're just about at that point. Are you down to stay around a little bit longer? Or... Uh-oh, did we lose him?
He's muted his mic or something.
Oh, sorry, I was talking to myself. Talking to myself. No, I've got to run in a few minutes. I've got a new puppy named Toshi that I have to go take care
of. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, all right. Then, Jeff, go through that list real quick and ask him like the most pertinent of the remaining questions.
I think we nailed pretty much all the questions. Let me just...
Well, I know I nailed the questions because, you know, I always nail the questions.
You nailed
For the
them.
Record, Brecky, I mean, you literally have to go in like 2 minutes and that's fine. But I want to take that time. I want to say thank you because this has been really fun. And I want to put you on the spot right now and ask for your commitment to come back on the show at some point.
Definitely. I had a blast, guys. So I won't say any time because, you know, then maybe I'd be on the show every day, but...
You're not that good. Calm down. All right, just slow down.
But definitely excited to come back on the show. Whatever.
You're awesome, man.
Oh, and Brecky, if you want to let people know where they can find you and if you want to pimp your store and stuff, I wanted to ask about your store. You sell some pretty awesome merch. It made me really smile when I saw Recovering Shitcoiner. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Oh, I love that one, dude. I got to get that one.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I don't really pimp my merch shop very often, but it's at vonbitcoin.com. I also do a lot of Bitcoin art, or I did before I went to Swan because my time gets taken up, but I think I'll have a bunch of Bitcoin art at the Bitcoin conference. I don't know if you guys are going, and Swan is going to be at the Bitcoin conference. We're going to have a giant dome there and doing media. So definitely roll through and sign up for Swan Force, which is our referral program. You get paid to recruit Bitcoiners. All those people that you're bothering with Robert Breedlove videos, you know, when they convert, like get them to sign up to Swan and start stacking sats that way. We've got some people who are actually earning like a significant amount of sats by referring through us. And what else? I don't know. Find me on Twitter. I live there. Find me on Clubhouse. We started this Cafe Bitcoin Club, which is always active and doing a lot of fun things.
That's only iPhone, right?
It is for now, but they say Android's coming soon.
Yeah, they need to get on that because some of us are not as cool. And we don't own iPhones, okay?
Yeah, I know. Well, we've actually been posting some of the recordings on YouTube. So if you're feeling the FOMO, you can go there. But it's not the same as, you know, participating in the conversation.
Yeah. All right. So this cool. has been Brecky Von
Bitcoin.
Oh my God.
Brecky Von Bitcoin.
Brecky Von Bitcoin.
I mean, we talked about shitcoins this whole time, I think. So like
Brecky Von Shitcoin. This has been Brecky Von Shitcoin. And dude, thank you so much, man. Thanks, man. This has been great. I really appreciate you coming on the show and being so cool. It's always cool to talk to someone, but it's you've been especially a light. So thank you very much.
I'm blushing through my computer screen, guys.
All right, take care of your dog, man. Have a
much
good one.
Love, dude. Take it easy.
Thank you for having me. And Jeff, also, I really want to say congratulations. You know, like Doug says, you're not quite there yet, but you're getting there. You're getting there. And I just wanted to twist the knife in there and rub a little salt. So, yeah, feel that salt.
Now, thank you. Now I got to deal with him for the rest of the show. Appreciate it.
How's your BlockFi account doing? You enjoying that 6%, bro?
Yeah, you know what? Get out of here, man. All right. Take care, buddy. Thank you.
Much love, guys.
Take it easy. All right, take it easy, man. What a good
guy.
He's a good guy. That's awesome, dude. I knew he was going to be a good guy.
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun,
man.
He was
awesome.
All right. We have more show, though, don't we?
A little bit more show, yeah.
A little bit more show.
We want to jump into the price check?
Let's go ahead.
Did we have any comments or stuff? We usually talk about comments. I don't have any comments loaded up.
I don't have any comments.
Ooh, okay, if you had comments.
Honestly, can I just, like, he's not here right now. He's not listening, right? So, seriously, that was fun.
Yeah,
that was
he's fun. An awesome dude.
We got to have him back. We got to start. Did you see that BTC Sessions, by the way? Did you watch that?
Yeah, I watched it. Oh, it was great.
That is now the show's goal, just for the record. Like, oh, yeah. You might not know that
we're going to get all those guys on
the
show.
We got to get Surfer Jim back. We got to get Brecky on.
And just have a big group.
We
got
to get Tina on, man. Tina, man. I don't think my Bitcoin journey is going to be complete until I have Tina yelling at me. You know what I mean? Like, that's definitely my goal.
He's the best. So, yeah. Well, now that you're not a shitcoiner anymore, because you were following all the wrong people. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
I don't follow anybody. I literally just followed Brecky on Twitter. Okay.
Well, you were getting the wrong feed then, because Bitcoin Twitter is super fun. There's awesome people. And now that you're not a shitcoiner anymore, the show is actually going to be what I hoped and dreamed it would be. So. I'm excited.
So now, every other episode sucked, guys, but this is the one.
It's not that it sucked. I think anybody, if this is your first episode, you can go back and then realize that we all go through shitcoin, like going down the Bitcoin rabbit hole. You're gonna go through different phases, and you're coming out screaming. You're angry. You're upset. You're like, oh my God, we got to fix the world. I'm like, yes, let it flow through.
I'm ready. I'm ready, man. So, this is a movement, and I'm glad to be part of it. Definitely.
Yeah,
so
Bitcoiners are awesome.
You know what? I didn't get to ask him, and I really, because I knew, you know, he likes sticking it to us, and that's what I like. I like guys that are gonna like screw with us a little bit.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to ask him if those two movies he was talking about. You remember at the beginning, he was talking about two movies he made that no one's ever saw. I want to know if he was going to turn those into NTFs.
NFTs.
Or NFTs.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been a good question, right?
That'd like, be funny, yeah. Any listeners, Brecky makes really... I was going to say, like, now it all comes back. But since he was a filmmaker, he makes really funny, like, very short films on Twitter. I don't know if you can call them films. I'm going to call them films. Basically, he does voiceovers of...
It's good stuff.
...of those boring financial talks, and then he just does voiceovers, and it's great. So, talented fella.
Yeah, if you're on the Twitters, then you need to check him out, because he does some funny stuff, man. And I think you guys all heard it on this podcast. So you hear the type of person he is. He's a real person. He's
very real.
He's going to give as good as he gets, and I respect the hell out of that. So all right, let's should we do a price check?
Yeah, let's do a price check. I don't. Hopefully you have the numbers there. I don't have the numbers there.
You know I do. It's my job.
Why Bitcoin presents your weekly price check.
I was going to say we should check them on bitcoin.tv rather than going anywhere else. I'm going to do it. I'm going to check it out. Is that what
Here's
it was?
My fault.
Bitcoin.tv.
All right. So last week we had our guest Acid Train. He guessed 61,333.33. Jeff guessed 67,423.72. And I was the bull of last week. And I guessed 71,209.50.
Things took a turn.
And then things...
It's okay, happened. Though. You know what I saw? Well, actually, I'll tell you after we make our guesses, I guess. But yeah, okay, so who won this week? I won?
No, Acid won, right? Okay. What do you have right now?
So the audience won. So yeah. You're just never going to give me a point? Even the audience gets points before I do? What are you doing to me?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, we literally promised Acid Train last week that he was going to be part of the show, whether he was liking it or not.
So,
right?
Yeah.
So Acid Train actually gets the points this week. Jeez, that's hilarious. Because I currently have 52,297.74.
Wait, what? Say that again?
54. I'm sorry. 54,000. Okay. 54,000. God, it keeps changing on me. All right. This is the official just reading right here. Ready? 54,328.36.
Yeah, I got about the same. I'm going to check the Canadian dollar just because we can watch this thing fall in real time. It's very fun. 69,288. And I think we hit 69,420 on 420. So Canada did it best. Well, that's good. So that's fun.
Do you smoke?
I don't smoke. I do ingest this oil stuff on occasion. I stopped
just like the CBD stuff.
Yeah, the CBD stuff. So I stopped drinking, and then I figured I'd try the CBD stuff because it's just good for like anxiety and stuff. I heard so mm-hmm. I gave it a shot, and yeah, it feels nice on a Friday night to just take some oil, and then you wake up and you're not hungover and sad. Instead, you just feel good. So you've never partaken in. You've never tried. I don't know if you want to say this on air. You should.
No, I do.
You should, man.
I have never. Should I tell a story? I'll tell a story. Sure. That's cool. When I was growing up, my father was super against pot. It was one of those things where, like, if I catch you smoking pot, I'm going to kick you out of the house. Mm-hmm. And when I got to, and this is to say, like, legitimately, so one of my first experiences with pot was I had a friend, my lifelong bestest friend on the neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. He invited me over to his house one night, and I actually snuck out to go with him and his buddy in because they were camping out in the backyard or whatever. And excuse me, he and his buddy were smoking pot, and he was like, hey man, you gotta smoke this pot. And I'm like I think at the time I was like 14 or 12 or something, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I'm good. You know, like this was even before my, like, I was just like, I'm just not interested. And yeah, I was kind of scared of my dad at the point or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was like, listen, man, you're going to do it someday and you might as well do it now so I can watch you and like take care of you.
That's a good friend. I was like,
wait a minute. No, that's not a good friend. Cause I was like, you don't know that I'm going to do it someday. What a shit thing to say. Like, you just know who I am as a person that I have to do this. This is inevitable. That's a bullshit thing to think. You know, so I didn't do it and I just kind of left. And then as I got older, and that's when I was actually interested maybe in doing pot, you know, I had my dad who was super against it, but I hated my dad at that time. You know, like he and I got into fist fights occasionally. Like we just were not compatible. And I say that as somebody who I absolutely love my dad, and we are, you know, I think the world of my dad, I really do. And I respect his opinion and I want to hear from him all the time. And I miss him when he's not around. Like I love my dad. Okay. But at the time when I was a young man, I hated my dad. And he had never done drugs. His brothers grew up in the Vietnam era and he was a little younger than them. And he was just, and he saw kind of like what the drugs did to them. And he didn't want to have any part of it in his life. He hated it. And so he was the guy who was like, he was the dad that he's like, if you do drugs in this house, I will kick you out. And I got to the point where I was like, it's not that I don't necessarily that I'm not interested. It's that I don't want to give him anything that would make him better than me. You know what I mean? Like that's where I was in my mental processes as an 18, 19, 20 year old. Right. Hmm. And so I just never did them. and I wasn't interested, and I lost friends over it. You know, I had a really good other best friend, Chris, I won't say his last name because I don't even know if he's alive anymore, but Chris was my best friend from fifth grade on. He got really, really into drugs, and like, it just separated us. You know, it wasn't even like, it wasn't mean or angry. It just, he went a different path. And my whole thing at the time was, I will not do drugs because I will not give my father a reason to have anything over my head ever, you know? Hmm. And that lasted until I was like 30, I guess. And then I was like, I don't really care. Like, I'm old now. Yeah. I'm 30. You know, and I just, it's just not part of my process. And now here I am at 44, and it's like, I don't really care about drug usage. I don't have a problem if you do pot. It's fine. I'm not what I once was, where I maybe was previously. I was very anti-pot and anti-drugs.
Even
and
recently you were, weren't you? Because I remember you.
No. I've had this attitude. Where, like, look, I don't think it's, I think it's like anything. Right. Where it can be a good thing for some people, yeah. And it can be useful, and it can be a release or an escape, and it can be an addiction for some people. You know what I mean? Like, it can be a bad thing for some people. And I'm at a point in my life where I don't need it. And I sort of have an addictive personality, and mm-hmm. I do worry about what that would mean for me if I were to engage in it. But I pretty much kind of resigned myself to, like, when I turn 65 or 70 and I don't give a shit anymore, if somebody's smoking around me, I'll probably have some. That's fine. Whatever. But I have never, I don't know. I'm at this point in my life. What's that?
The curiosity just isn't there.
No, it really kind of isn't for me. It's just not one of those things. And so it's like, it's just not ever something, like, I've had reasons before, and now it's just, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like,
that's cool.
it is what it is. It's never been something that's held a lot of fascination for me. And at this point in my life, man, there are so many things I have to worry about, especially in terms of finance, like figuring out where I'm going to come up with $50 to buy pot with. Like, that's not on my radar. You know what I mean? It's just,
I'll give you the first hit for free, bro. I'll give you
some. Yeah, it'll. Like, I don't care if you do it. I genuinely don't. But it's just like, I don't. It's really not my bag. Like, so, you know, another story along that line. It was really kind of telling. Was this was probably about a decade ago. I was visiting a buddy of mine, and he was a school teacher, and he had all of his school teacher buddies over, and we were all kind of like hanging out, doing a barbecue or whatever. And then all of a sudden they all, like, one by one, they started to disappear. And I was like, what's going on? So finally my buddy Josh, he's like, hey man, come on, let's go upstairs. And they, like, all of them, these are all school teachers, and they're all, like, hiding up in his attic to do this, to smoke pot. And they're all, like, passing around joints and stuff. And I'm just like, you guys are fucking adults. What are you doing? I don't even understand this. You know, like, if you want to do it, just do it. Like, I don't care. Like, literally, you had like a dozen full-on adults that teach children. Like, they had jobs, and they're all smoking pot. And it's just like, they're all hiding upstairs in the attic like children. And I'm just like, what is happening right now? It was so bizarre to me. Like if if you're going to do it, do it. You know what I mean? It's fine.
Well, it was
just commit to it. And what's that?
It was illegal, right? When was this?
You know, honestly, nobody, I don't think, whatever. I don't even know it. I don't know. So I'm not going to talk about it. But it's just one of those things where it's like, as long as you're doing what you do and it doesn't hurt anybody else, I really don't give a shit. Honestly, I don't.
Yeah, that's now, I think that's how most people feel. Once you get to a certain point, you're just, I don't care what you do. Just don't ruin my life and carry on with whatever you're doing. And any opinion other than that is just stop stomping on people's lives. Like, leave me alone to live my life.
Exactly. And that's it. Right. And so my only real issue with, like, the quote unquote drug war or anything else like that right now is, look, we in this country, we can't even get a handle on alcohol. You know, we still have people getting wasted 5 or 6 times, you know, getting DWIs or OWIs, whatever you want to call them, and like fucking smacking into a bus of children. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we can't even get that shit under control. So the whole concept of, like, let's let all the drugs be legal,
But that's where you come in with your, you think that we need a government to rule us. I think, yeah, a lot of people have said, if you legalize everything, then people are fit to rule themselves and make good choices. Like, I tried.
But people inherently don't make good choices.
But that's not, I disagree. I mean, I don't want to go down this hole, man. I disagree.
All right.
I think
if you don't want to, that's fine. But that's my problem with it. Like, I don't have a problem with any. Look, if you're in the privacy of your own home and you want to shoot up heroin, okay. I really don't care. Honestly, I don't care. But if you want to shoot up heroin, but you don't have any heroin, so you got to go rob little Grandma Good Cookie to go get, you know, her money so you can get heroin, that's a problem. And that has to be dealt with somehow. And what I don't see from the argument of legalize everything, which I'm genuinely for, like the concept, I'm for it, but I don't see a solution on the back end of that, right? Because
the people that want what they want to get, they're going to work towards getting what they want to get. Hopefully you would, the theory of people take care of themselves would lead them to taking care of themselves. And anybody that is stepping on other people's toes to do better are going to get run down by the greater majority of people.
But how do you, okay, case in point. All right. I had a cousin who was adopted into the family. Okay. He was a drug user. He stole thousands of dollars from my grandfather, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's a problem. So I don't care what you do, but don't hurt the people I love. You know what I mean?
So like, just don't have them in the family anymore. Or do what you have to do to get the money back and then kick them out.
Well, okay, but then I get in trouble. Like, look, my solution is you break through my door, I'm going to end you. I don't care what it is. I have children.
Yeah.
But I get in trouble for that. You see what I'm saying?
Well, like, depending on where you're at.
Well, it's really hard to hide a body where I live right now. Is what I'm saying.
But if somebody's... if somebody's trespassing, you're free to defend yourself.
You're not. You're really not.
Well, you should be. Legalize everything. Well,
okay, that's fine. Okay, but you're not. Like, I mean, there's a case in California like 20 years ago where there was a thief trying to break into somebody's house and he literally fell through a skylight into the kitchen onto like the knife block, right? Where all the knives were, and he cut his leg open and he sued the homeowner.
I remember here, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, you're not just free to do whatever you want, right? And so all I'm saying is, listen, this is really what I'm saying. If you want to legalize all the drugs, fine. But then you have to legalize everybody's response to that usage.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I've never heard that argument being presented. It's always, we have to legalize everything. Okay, I'm with you. But how do you allow people to defend themselves from you if you're making bad decisions while on drugs? That's all I'm asking for.
If the consequences are worse, people will think more when they make a decision, right?
I agree.
Right now, the consequence is you go to jail and then you sit in jail for a while. If somebody's going to actually kill you if you do something to them, you might think twice before you.
And that's all I want. That's all I want in the discussion. Honestly,
yeah, good. I think I'm going to win you over soon. That's a Bitcoin world.
You're not
world.
Winning me over. This is an established policy. What are you talking? This is my established policy. But I'm not hearing that from any politician ever.
Oh yeah,
it's always just let's just legalize,
man. Fuck the politicians. We don't need any politicians.
Oh my gosh, here we go.
That's what I'm saying. Is you're saying, well, if we legalize everything, we should legalize the reasons for the, what's the word, consequences. And then, if the people rule themselves, you don't need one person in power imposing rules. Fuck the rules, you know? Just don't do stupid shit and you won't get treated like an idiot.
I mean, I agree. I can't disagree with that, but that's not the world we live in, man.
Yeah, but it could be.
Can Bitcoin fix that?
Yes. people make... Of course it can. People make better choices with what they buy now because their money is going up in value. So if people can't rob people of money anymore, because if somebody puts a gun to your head and says, give me all your Bitcoin, they can't get it no matter what they do. So the world becomes a safer place. It becomes a more harmonious place. It becomes a place where you can do what you want to do because your consequences, you know, are on yourself. If you do something stupid, you're going to pay for it.
And if that was the case, if that was honestly the presentation that was given at the let's legalize presentation, I'm down for it. I really am.
Yeah.
So don't tell me I'm not there. It's so, I hate it when you do that. It's so annoying.
But that's what I'm saying is like, I don't understand why you still think we need laws and rules.
Because there are still laws and rules that I have to live by. Whether you like them or not, they're there.
What?
You know?
You're saying we need rules because we have rules? I don't understand.
I'm saying there are, all right, let's just, why don't we table this for another episode?
I told you, if you want to, we'll leave it. We can go into that later. Guys, let us know if you want us to talk more about the philosophical reasons behind Bitcoin or just like spiritual stuff. It's something that I've been concerned about opening up on the table because it could literally end us in like for reals arguments. And I like joking and laughing.
No, you and me?
Yeah.
You and me?
I could hurt your feelings and I don't want to hurt your feelings.
You can't hurt my feelings.
I can hurt your feelings.
Because I know what I... No, I think you might be, you might consider me to be so hard-headed and puritanical that you won't want to deal with me anymore, but there's nothing you can say that I haven't heard, to be honest. I just want to have, I want to have a fair...
There. That's not fair. That's not fair to say. You think anything that I'm going to say okay, then, said, that's not
all
fair.
All right, then I apologize.
What about my
I don't
feelings?
Know your mind.
Thank you. Okay. That's all I wanted.
Okay. Okay. Listen, listen, audience. Jeff and I, how do I say this? Jeff and I don't agree on a lot of things. We agree on a lot of things, but we don't agree on a lot of other things.
Our friendship was curated by us disagreeing on stuff.
No. Our friendship was cured on the fact that you and I can have real world discussions and then not hate each other at the end.
Yeah. Well, that's to be seen because I've been holding back.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Listen, as long as we don't make it a personal argument or a personal attack, I think you and I have one of the most pure friendships that I've ever had.
Whoa.
Because you and I don't agree on a lot of things. Like, we do agree on a lot of stuff. And I keep going back to that. But the thing I hold with our friendship is that you and I don't, we've never made it personal. And I've always felt like if I feel like something is becoming personal, I can say to you, this feels like it's personal and I don't like that. And you're like, no, I'm not trying to do that. You know, it's like we're very open about that.
Well, what's good. And I mean, we are internet friends. So it's like, we know each other well, but it's not like I know you super duper well. Most of what we say is just kind of our thoughts on life and shit. So no, I'm
but
not
that's
come
what people and... really should be doing. Like, yeah. You should be allowed to have genuine disagreements that don't end up with one of us being physical with another, or I'm never talking to this guy again.
Yeah. That's my biggest issue with what's going on. Like, anybody that's listening, if you hear somebody that says something that you would disagree with, even if it's really something you disagree with, and then you say, I'm not listening to them anymore, all you have to realize is that you are making your echo chamber stronger. And what I aim to do is make my world as open as possible to as many opinions as possible. And the only way you can do that, in my opinion, is by having direct conversations with individuals rather than groups of people. So what you should go out to do is talk to people that have a different opinion than you and see if you're wrong or if they're wrong or if there even is a right and a wrong or if it's something you can solve. Like, say, for instance, how the world should be run with no politicians and no leaders. Obviously, that's the right choice. It's just a matter of if you can figure it out or not.
I can't really argue with that, actually. That makes a lot of sense to me. So the whole point of this is dialogue. You have to have dialogue. And you can't do that if you're just saying, what you're saying is dumb and I don't like you and I'm never talking to you again.
Like,
you
dude, say that? Stupid. Here's a hate comment of the week from a little while ago. Welcome to 7 Foot Fiend's Twitter feed. You can find me at 7 Foot Fiend. So a dude... that's a pretty major streamer, actually been making content on YouTube for years, one of the first COD players. He said, oh man, I'm going to misquote this, but he said something about how great it was that the government was putting money towards all these things and they're going to tax the rich. And I was just like, yeah, man, they're printing money. This is bad and taxes don't work. And he just simply said, you just said taxes don't make a difference. Clearly, your opinion, it can be void. And I'm like, okay.
What?
Yeah, I'm like, what do you mean, dude? In all of known history, there's been taxes, and the taxes don't work. And the whole system of what they're run on, the fact of the matter is they print the money first, and then they say where they're going to get it. The money is negative, and then they hope to get it back. That's why all the governments and all the countries are in debt, because they pay first and then ask for the money later. And he's like, obviously, taxing the rich is going to be a way to solve this problem. Like, okay, oh well, just read a fucking book, man. I don't know what to tell you. Like, and I'd love to talk to somebody like that. Like, okay, it's not that you know that you're right. It's just that you think that I'm wrong. And that's so frustrating, because if somebody's saying something, it's because they know something about it. If you're denying them that based on your feelings, then you're just an idiot. So that's why, like, just talking about the whole idea of Bitcoin maximalism, if this is where we're going down, this is what you'll realize. Maybe this will be an aha moment for some people, is that Bitcoin maximalists don't care really about Bitcoin. They just fucking hate all the other options. And so Bitcoin just is. There it is. If you want to use it, you can use it. Everything else is shit. And they're going to do most maximalists are just trying to figure out why is Bitcoin going to fuck me? How is this system also broken? So they're putting in the work to figure out what's wrong with it. And then they're either fixing it or just realizing that it's not wrong. Which is why when you watch interviews, Saylor was on a debate with some gold bug today. I haven't watched it yet, but Bitcoiners don't argue with feelings ever. Like, they just explain why they're right. And that's what's awesome. It's like, okay, here's your point. Here's how you're wrong. Here's why I'm right. Please give me some other reason to tell me Bitcoin's not going to work. Oh, you can't. Okay, I guess I'll keep looking for my own reasons. And right. that's another reason why this podcast is called Why Bitcoin, because it's like, why is Bitcoin the only thing that's ever worked properly? How can we find a way that this doesn't work? And so far, I still haven't found a way that Bitcoin doesn't work.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is an invitation right now. In any comment, in any medium you're listening to this, go ahead, put it in the comments. We'll read it. We might even have you on the show. That's fine. We want to talk to people. Like, we've had people on the show. Well, no. What? So as it sits right now, we've had three guests on the show. Two of them have been basically Bitcoin maximalists. And then we've had somebody who knows nothing and he has asked questions, right? If you are somebody who has a stake in this and that you really want to come on the show and argue about why
not Bitcoin,
why not Bitcoin? That's a good way to phrase it. You know, let's set something up. That's fine. DM us, you know, or whatever. But come prepared, and we'll do our best to discuss with you. And I don't know.
And hopefully, I won't just say, "Oh, you just don't get it yet," because that was pretty much.
Don't say that, man. You can't just say you don't get it or you will get it. That's, I know, so because I'm demeaning when you do that. You know what I mean?
I know it is, but I also am not great at explaining it myself. Like, we're both pretty new. Like, there comes a point where you learn something, then you understand something, and then I guess the saying goes, like, you really know it and understand it once you can teach it. So we're by no means teachers of Bitcoin. We're still in the learning phase ourselves. So there may very well be arguments that can be said that I don't have the answers for, but I guarantee you there's podcasts and articles and things that you can read up on that will answer those questions. And that's kind of what I want to search for, is what are the main key arguments against Bitcoin, and how can we either prove or disprove them?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you know what Jeff and I are actually for? We're for freedom. We are for individual sovereignty and freedom. And at this point, given somebody else's argument, we both see Bitcoin as the best way to achieve that.
Yep.
And that's really what this show kind of comes down to, is why Bitcoin? Well, because it's about freedom. And I'm sorry, that's the way I look at a lot of things in my life. And so maybe I'm co-opting Jeff's opinion, but I don't want to be told 20 years from now that the, you know, $100,000 that I saved, it isn't worth what I thought it was going to be worth.
And that is going to happen to people.
Right.
And that's why we're trying to onboard, as you say, as many people as possible.
So. Exactly. And so, all right, let's go ahead and wrap this up.
Well, hold on a second. That was just a segue into, we have to make our price predictions for next week. We kind of trailed off there in the price check.
I was literally trying to do that.
Oh, okay.
So, by the way, this week's price check is brought to us by
Swan Bitcoin. Unofficially. So
unofficially, they didn't authorize this, and Brecky did not authorize
this. No, he said it'd be cool if we used it, but.
But I did check them out today, guys, and I do feel like it's a pretty solid way to go ahead and get your Bitcoin, especially because, and I didn't get to say this with Brecky, but one of the things I really did like about it, maybe I kind of mentioned it, but I didn't really hit it, is their idea of cost dollar averaging and making it so simple.
Cost dollar averaging.
To just, the best way to HODL, the best way to buy Bitcoin, in my opinion, is to not ever look at the price. Just, this is what I'm going to pay monthly or weekly or daily, whatever it is. I'm going to set out $10 a day or $50 a week or $100 a month, whatever it is. And I'm just going to buy that much. Mm-hmm. Over the long term, you will win, is my opinion. Again, not financial advice.
Over the short term, you will do research and then you will put all of your money into Bitcoin.
Exactly. So, I mean, in terms of how to do that, Swan is super simple to do that, kids. So please check them out. We don't have a code or anything like that. Once again, we're not really doing this for the cash right now. Someday we will, I hope. But, you know, I really did check them out and I did sign up for them. I have an account with them now. And the onboarding was super easy. And in terms of setting up and in terms of, I haven't decided if I just want to buy from them or if I want to do like a monthly thing or a weekly thing, but it all seems really simple to me. So please check them out. And also please go do two things. Check out vonbitcoin.com, right? And make sure you follow Brecky Von Bitcoin.
It's BVBTC at BVBTC on Twitter.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. BVBTC.
So it's at BVBTC.
I nailed it.
We'll say that like 700 times.
BVBTC.
Right, yeah, you got it. I'll put all those links in the description. So here we go. Jeff, we have to acknowledge Acid Train because that dude schooled both of us hardcore last week. Like,
Nail it or what?
I mean, he didn't nail it, but he was closer by almost an order of magnitude. Like by a lot, he was much closer. So, Acid Train, thanks for showing up on the show and for making us look bad on our own show. Good job, buddy. Appreciate it.
Well played.
All right. Let's take 30 seconds and let's do a guess for this week.
Okay. I have to write it down. Do you already have yours written down?
I don't have mine written down.
Okay, hold on.
Right, now stop talking because I have to put the Jeopardy music in. Hold on.
Is the Jeopardy music playing? Oh, you ruined it. Okay, hold on. I'm doing... Right. Okay, so I'm going to guess... oh my God, I'm nervous. I'm going to go... You know what? I'm going to do this. Okay, I'm going to say... No, it's not going to be that. It's going to be...
I'm ready when you are, sir.
I'm nervous. I think something wacky's going to happen. Dude, okay, I'm ready. 54,562.44.
All right, and I am way more bullish than you. I think 62,222.95.
Okay, fair.
So there it is.
So lock them in. Dude, this is the thing. We've been on, I don't know, like, talk about reading graphs and shit. Just from the ones I look at sort of jokingly, Bitcoin has never had more than 6 green monthly candles in a row. And this is its 6th month. So this is its first time doing six green candles for months. And so I think we're going to have a red month, like a very light red month. So I think we're going to be just above... or just below whatever we entered April with, and then next month goes wackadoo, is what I'm guessing.
Okay, all right. I have no reason for my pick at all. Okay. I just want to see it at 62. That's it.
That's cool. Yeah, I do. I think reading the graphs and all, it doesn't really matter, but I still do it. I look at them and try and figure it out. Even though you have to realize they're all just kind of, you never know. Anything can happen, and that's what the fun is all about.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens. So, say yours again.
I didn't write it down. 54,000. I think I said 562. I just had
54,562.
Yeah.
And change.
And 79 cents.
All right, 79 cents. Okay.
It changed a little bit from my first one. Fact checkers can fact check it.
Yeah, please get Twitter fact checkers on that one.
Right on.
All right.
Okay, guys.
Anything else we have to do?
I think that's it. Thanks so much for listening. Big thanks to Brecky for being on the show. That was a blast.
I honestly can't wait for him to come on again.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude. Fun. I told you. We are nailing it with really cool guests again. Oh, yeah. If you want to reach out and be on the show, just message us on our email. Any comments, questions, concerns, or complaints, you can find us at askwhybitcoin@gmail.com. Yeah. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Okay. We nailed it. Thanks everybody for listening. Until next week. Have a wonderful, we don't even have a good outro, dude. We need like,
we really don't.
We need a good phrase out.
Or like a big dramatic kiss or something.
Yeah. Maybe we just hard cut it here somewhere while I'm talking. And okay. Bye.
All right. Bye.